Being out in the middle of nowhere is quite terrifying sometimes. Just about anything can go on out there, and more often than not, no one's gonna be there to help you out. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another video. In this episode, we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true middle of nowhere horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and get ready for some allegedly true and creepy middle of nowhere horror stories. I'm a Hispanic female, Mexican to be exact, and this happened on my family's ranch just last night. My family consists of my parents, me, and my little brother. My other brother is at basic training right now for the Air Force. So, for now, it's just us. I wanted to sit down and get this all out while I can and still remember it. I live in New Mexico, the southeastern part, right on the Texas state line. Pretty much about 10 minutes east and you're in Texas. Anyways, I live 15 miles outside of my hometown and 8 miles away from the town over. My family has a cattle ranch and I live just off the highway, so people coming on our ranch are people we usually know. I think I live in the safest place anyone could possibly live, with little to no worry about someone wanting to cause my family and I harm. Well, last night, I was proved wrong. Let me briefly explain the layout of my place. We have the main entrance with the ranch name and cattle guard. Then, to the right a few hundred feet over, is the gate we use for the cattle when they're being moved. But, once you come onto our land, we have a giant silver barn, and attached to it is an overstay house, where workers would go and stay overnight. During harvesting seasons, we would really utilize this house. Then, next to that is my house a little way, probably about a 2 or 3 minute walk. Anyway, my mom's cousin from Mexico is renting the overstay house from my parents while he works here in the US for privacy reasons. His name will be Antonio for this story. So, last night around 8 p.m., it was thunderstorming when Antonio heard a knock at the door. "Come in," he said, assuming it was either my mom or dad, but no. In walked in was a dirty-looking white man, about 5'9", with a goatee that was obviously tweaking and talking really fast, which obviously scared Antonio, seeing as he doesn't speak English. So Antonio calls my dad and told him, "Hey, there's some guy out here in my apartment, and I don't know what he wants or how to get him out." Right away, my dad drives to the apartment with his gun and demanded to know what the business was about. "They told me to come here and talk to you." "Who sent you to come here to talk to me?" "It was a talking dog. He wanted me to warn y'all about the world. Apparently it's going to end, and your dogs are talking to me too." Referring to my two dogs, Sheba and Sombra, who were barking and growling like crazy. "Look, friend, I think it's best you get off my property." Yeah, I should leave." He then proceeds to hop the cattle guard gate, and my dad calls the sheriff's department and explained what exactly happened. After this phone call, my dad and Antonio are just looking at the man on the side of the gate. He was just flailing his arms around like a tweaker does and talking on the top of his lungs. Then he did the most ungodly thing. He started screaming, but in a demonic voice. Then he proceeded to run down the highway. Once the police came, they told my dad they had gotten calls about him, and apparently he lived close by to our ranching community. Great. We have a crackhead neighbor. My dad just told them he better not come back to our property again, because he's not scared to shoot him if he has to. The sheriffs then left, and everyone got ready for bed. Then, early this morning around 3 a.m., Antonio called my dad again, panicked because the man was knocking on the apartment door, and he was holding a gun. My dad got up quickly and told my mom to call the police. When my dad got to the apartment, The man was going through Antonio's truck, and once he saw my dad, he booked it once again. My dad was raging. He told the police if he went any further than the apartment and got anywhere near our home, or went through our vehicles, he was going to shoot the man, and he was warning them now. We do not have a security system. We just locked the front and back door, and we never felt the need to lock our vehicles, until today. We do, however, have security cameras, one facing the main entrance and one facing our vehicles, and we also have one by the front door and one facing the area where the cattle and the two horses are. Unfortunately, my dogs are all bark and no bite. Sheba is about 7 years old and is a lab mix, and Sombra is 2 and she's a red heeler. The dogs are mostly on our porch watching the cattle and barking at whoever comes through the main entrance. But now, I think my old school Mexican parents are going to have to finally invest in a security system, instead of thinking a locked door and a porch light will scare anybody away. So this story is going to be parted from my perspective, as well as my brother's perspective, and it's going to be a rather long one. This is a true story that happened last night, while I was at my grandmother's house in the middle of nowhere. So, before this all took place, I went to get McDonald's in the nearest city to us, which is about 20 minutes away. After that, I decided to go down to my grandmother's house instead of going straight home. For context, she lives down a long farm road, to which you also have to turn off down a half-mile dirt driveway just to get to her house. I arrived there around 9 p.m., and I went in and visited my grandmother and my brother who lives with her. Ever since my grandpa passed away, so that she won't have to live down there all alone. My brother and I took out my grandmother's dog to go pee around 10:30 p.m. We just sat outside listening and talking and having a good time. At that point, I was starting to get cold because this is East Texas, and I'm not used to it getting down into the low 40s at night. So, I was about ready to head inside. I noticed something moving out the corner of my eye, near the large metal shop that sits a few hundred yards away from the house. I didn't really take too much notice though, because it is pretty common for deer to be around, and raccoons and all kinds of stuff snooping around in the yard. Plus, my grandma's dog wasn't barking, so I thought that it might have just been the eyes playing tricks on me. We finally headed back inside, and my grandma went to sleep at around 11 p.m. if I remember. So my brother stayed up and played Among Us and watched YouTube for a while. At around 2:30 a.m., I was very tired and ready to go home, so I asked my brother to walk with me to the door and make sure I get out to my car because I am always very paranoid, especially at night. He joked around and said that he would turn the light off on me and lock the door. I kind of freaked out and begged him to walk with me out to the car, to which he finally humored me. I got in my car and immediately locked the doors. I saw the porch lights turn off as I was driving back down the dirt road. I got home within 10 minutes and fixed myself some ice cream before I sat down and enjoyed the creepy horror stories on YouTube. Another 15 or so minutes passed, and I got a FaceTime from my brother, to which I picked up almost immediately. I could tell that he was freaked out about something, but he was not saying anything right away, so I asked him what was wrong. The following is my best attempt to paraphrase what my brother told me. He said that after I left, he went back outside to listen to some music and sit on the porch. He had the music on his phone up loud, which would usually mask any noises of animals coming from the nearby woods. After just a few minutes of listening to music, though, he said that he heard what he thought to be sounds of metal banging around, so he quickly paused the music and listened to see if he could hear the sound again. He stood up and looked towards the shop and the boat shed, which are adjacent to each other, and are only a few hundred yards away from where he was standing. He saw a faint light shining around near the boat shed, but then it quickly flicked off. At this point, he was freaked out, so he quietly crept back inside the house and locked the door behind him. He said that he ran to his room in the back of the house, I guess not thinking to wake up our grandma, and he grabbed his revolver. He quickly ran back outside and saw the glow of the flashlight move around and then quickly shut off as soon as he noticed it. He walked out to the edge of the concrete carport and stared out towards the boat shed with his revolver down at his side. The only thing illuminating the boat shed was the faint light coming from the house. He said he tried to muster out the most intimidating voice he could and said, "Who the hell is out there?" To which there was no immediate reply, except for a slight bumping sound, which solidified the fact that someone was indeed there. Now keep in mind this is in the middle of the country, in a town with a population of just over 1,000 people, and the nearest house is across the lake, a few miles down. So, no well-meaning person would just happen to stumble across my grandma's house this late at night. Also, my grandma has had problems with people snooping around the property in the past, so this is not something any of us take lightly. And for the life of me, I can't tell you why my brother just didn't call the police, but you also have to remember there is literally no cop in our entire town, and it is 3 a.m., so it would take at least 30 minutes for the cops to even show up. Anyway, my brother again called for the person to show themselves and repeated his question and asked the person to identify themselves. He said that he practically craps his pants as a tall, lanky figure slowly emerged from the boat shed with a flashlight in hand. Although my brother could not see the distinct features about the person, he could tell it was an elderly man and that it was no one that he knew. It was especially not anyone that should be in our boat shed at 3 a.m. At this point, he raised the revolver up and pointed at the man and said, "Who the hell are you?" The man was still silent and began slowly walking towards him. My brother pulled back the hammer of the revolver and gave one last verbal warning to the man and said, "I swear, I will blow your freaking head off. Now who are you and why are you here?" The man put his hands up and said, Whoa, calm down, man," in a taunting voice as he continued walking towards my brother. My brother fired a single shot just above the man's head, to which he finally took that as his cue that my brother meant business. The man hurriedly took off on foot back down the driveway. My brother said, "Next time I won't miss." My brother then quickly ran inside to wake up my grandma, who had somehow slept through the entire commotion. She did not seem worried enough to call the police, but of course after hearing all this, all I could think of was, what were the true intentions of that man? Was he just some meth head snooping around looking to steal some tools for drug money, or were his intentions more sinister? Another question that haunts me about this whole situation is how many times has this happened after my grandma and brother went to bed and we just did not know? And was this guy watching us from the shadows all night? Was he watching me as I walked to my car? What would have happened if my brother had turned out the lights and locked the door before I could get to my car? So, to the stranger who tried to rob us, or does God knows what at 3 o'clock in the morning, I hope you learned your lesson. My husband and I went on our first walk this morning after moving to the country. It is not the kind of country where your nearest neighbor is miles away, but we are surrounded by trees and empty fields. As we go about 35 feet away from the bridge or road by my house, we noticed a creature standing on the bridge, just watching us. It looked like someone dressed in all black at first, just staring us down from the left side of the bridge. We walked closer and realized it was walking away. No matter how fast or slow we walked, it was always the same distance away from us. When we stopped moving, so would the creature. What seemed to change was the shape it would take, though. As we walked, we could see it wobbling like a drunk person. If we looked away, it would move to the opposite side of the road and be a completely different shape, like a dog or a small animal. As we walked onto the bridge, the creature was further ahead by the hill. It began to change shape and had stick-like legs. It would walk, but not bend its knees, if that makes sense. It was as if it were on stilts. We slowed our pace, and it began to walk over the hill, still changing shape. We got to the hill, looking ahead to see what shape the creature had taken now, but it was gone. No trace of it in the distance. We can see a few miles ahead at this point, and there was no sign of it anywhere. We believe it was a skinwalker, and we are glad we never met up with it. My name is Savannah. I am currently 18 years old. This story happened when I was 5 or 6. I was incredibly young, so it was hard to remember what age I was. This story tells my very first paranormal experience. I will be sharing my other stories that will also hopefully be read to the swamp. My mom and I listen to your videos every night before going to sleep, and we love every story that is read, so I figured it is about time I put mine out there too. At the time this happened, I lived in a small town called White Hills in Arizona. It was a town that was pretty much in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by desert. I shared a room with my two sisters. In the room was a bunk bed, on a wall, with a regular bed on the other side of the room. We had three rooms in this house, but the spare room was always way too freezing to sleep in at night. My oldest sister also complained about the house being weird. We would have clothes that were hung up on the end of our bunk bed, and they would always be moved around. Like, it was always on their own. I even witnessed this once or twice myself. It was absolutely terrifying, because I knew it wasn't my sisters tricking me when it would happen. They would be asleep at the time. Between our beds was our dresser with a hermit crab tank on top. Across from the tank was the door. When the door was open, you could see the wall to the hallway. When the crab lights were on, the lights reflected against the hallway wall. Down a bit to the right was a bathroom that was between our room and the freezing spare bedroom. It was late at night, and the door was open. I was looking at the wall, contemplating on if I should get up to use the restroom. I was scared of the dark since I was very young. I had enough courage to get up eventually, and I slowly walked into the hallway. When I looked to the right, which showed the living room, it had a little bit of light showing through because the huge windows that were next to my parents' door. I could see something moving. It looked like a huge dog. I remember it being way bigger than the dog I had at the time. It was sniffing around the living room. I was staring at it, though once it spotted me, I saw yellow eyes. I saw it start walking towards me kind of like a trot. It was blurry, as it was in the speed between walking and running at me. I ran back into my room and hid under the covers because, you know, kids for some reason think hiding under blankets are going to protect them. For some reason, I didn't think to close the door behind me. I was terrified, absolutely out of my mind. I waited, terrified under these covers. Everyone was asleep except for me. It was just me, and Power and Swirls the hermit crabs. The light from the tank made me feel better. Eventually, I lifted my head from the covers to see a shadow on the wall. It was not of a dog, though. It was of a full-grown man in a suit, hat, holding a briefcase. It looked as if it was walking closer to my door. The shadow on the wall getting bigger as it walked closer. I ducked my head under the covers again and closed my eyes as tight as I could. There was no sound throughout the house. My mom did not know about this story until we moved out of the house and were a few years into living in Las Vegas, Nevada. I think about this story all the time, but now I'm older, it's harder to put all these pieces together. I have seen a lot of things. Something has even talked to me before. This was just one of my earliest memories as a kid. Let us just say from that point on, I slept with the door closed. This happened roughly 2 weeks ago. I was at my family reunion in Western New York. For context, my family owns a huge plot of land, including a valley and a full hill. If you live in New York, you know how big the hills are. Well, on to the story. My aunt owns a fishing pond, and one of the days of our week-long family reunion, I decided to go fishing. Now, it takes some time to walk the roads to the pond, and it is basically in the middle of nowhere. The trail down to the pond is narrow and surrounded by a thick forest. The road by the trail is surrounded by a huge amount of pine trees, and they're very hard to see through. This will be important later. I walked down the trail with my fishing gear and started fishing. I think I caught about 4 fish in about 20 minutes. Then, I hear what sounds like a fox scream, but it's more human-like, if that makes sense. This scream was followed by a rustling in the bushes around the pond. Kind of curious, and creeped out just a bit. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's it, I'm heading back home. As I reel my line in, I catch a fish. But as I'm reeling it in, the screams are getting louder and louder, followed by very heavy rustling. I get the fish off as fast as possible and start up the trail at a quick pace. At this point, I'm just so creeped out that I don't even want to look behind me. Then as I'm walking, I'm going up the hill, I hear a splash, then something walking away. At this point, the screams had stopped. I think that's odd and start to jog. When I get to the road, I start down, and it takes about another 20 minutes of walking from the pond to the farm that I was camping at. As I'm walking, I hear something snapping and stomping its way through the pine trees. I start to run, but I didn't look back at all, I was just too scared. I got back and asked what it could be to my family, and they were pretty convinced it was a fox. But I don't think it was. After listening to fox screams, it was just too human-like, and foxes can't be that loud. They don't even weigh possibly enough to make all those noises with their feet. No one has been to the pond other than me that evening, and I don't know if I want to go back. I'm worried about what I'll find if I do. If anybody knows what I saw that night, please let me know. I haven't told this story to a lot of people, but I really need to get this off my chest. I'm from Australia, and we have something from our folklore called Bunyip. My grandparents always told me not to go to the billabong after dark, because one lived there. Now, there's something you should know about me, and it's that I'm not really a superstitious guy, so I never really believed in any of that. Flash forward a few years, and I'm still recovering from what happened. There was this girl I liked at the time. Her name was Riley. She always wanted to go to the billabong where the Bunyip was supposedly supposed to live. I told her that I lived near it, and it was a mile from where I lived. So later that day, we went to the billabong to go camp there, when things started to feel off. The only way I could describe it was that you were being watched by something, but you didn't know from where or by what. I don't know how long we were there for when Riley said that we should go swimming in the billabong, and me, being the stupid teenager I was, wanted to impress her. So we changed into our bathing suits and dove in. After a few minutes of splashing around, Riley said that she felt something brush up against her leg. I told her it was probably a fish and she was fine. But then, the same thing happened again. She started to get scared and began to swim back to shore. But then something happened that I will never forget until the day I die. I saw a reddish-brown claw-like hand reach out around Riley's leg and dig its nails into it. She screamed, most likely from pain and shock, as the thing tried to pull her underwater. I froze and did not know what to do, so I just swam to the spot where the creature took her. And speak of the devil, the thing popped its ugly head up out of the billabong. All I can describe is that it looked like a deformed Jar Jar Binks with horns and fangs coming out of its mouth. I saw it had Riley in its clawed hand, and it was coming towards me. I looked for anything I could to defend myself. I saw a jagged rock laying near the bank of the billabong, and I grabbed it and did the only thing I could do in the situation. I stabbed it in the hand that it had Riley in, and it let out a cry that sounded like a slower and deeper river boat horn. It let go of Riley and dove under the water and swam away. But as it did, I swear it shot me an evil look. I dragged Riley to the shore, the adrenaline still coursing through my body. I hadn't known she was crying, but I didn't care. All I wanted to do was get her out of that billabong and get us to safe dry land. We got to my house and I saw that she was limping, so I asked her what was wrong. She sniffled as she lifted up the blanket I gave her, and I saw that she had a deep gash in her leg that looked like claw marks. My mom let her spend the night since it was Friday, and she slept on the couch. It's been years, but every time I pass by that billabong, I still feel uneasy. Before I start my story, I would like to say that I am about 6 feet 3 inches tall, and this took place during the middle of summer in 2015. I had recently landed a position in field sales, and I couldn't be more happy with it. The money is great, and the company I work for even gave me a company vehicle. The only downside to the job is that sales territory is quite expansive, and could at times end up with me driving across several states, and the people I work for sometimes expect me to drive to most of my customers. I was grateful, however, since not that many people at my age get these kind of opportunities. After a couple of weeks of getting the hang of things, I had gotten a business call from a clinic in northwestern Florida that wanted me to come and provide a demonstration of our product. I told them that I'd be there by noon the next day. This drive would take me straight down the middle of Alabama, on Interstate 65, and then bring me through Alabama State Route 113 down to Florida. I planned to get there by 11, or so the night before. Once I got past Montgomery, it was almost 9:30, so it was already dark. I have experience with driving long distances during the night, so the fact that it was night didn't really bother me. Once I saw the exit sign for Flamonton, I took the exit. I had just noticed that it was already 10 p.m., so I stopped at a gas station and bought myself an energy drink so that I would arrive at my destination on time. Once I had gotten back on the road, I realized that the drive was going to bring me through the middle of nowhere. After about 25 minutes of driving past farms, fields, small towns, and everything else, I arrived at another town and I stopped at a McDonald's to stretch my legs. Once I got back onto the road and headed south, I noticed a sign. The sign read, "Farm Machinery in Deer Crossing." Crap. Another long drive through the middle of nowhere. After about 10 minutes or so, I noticed that my car was pretty low on gas. After a couple of minutes, I was just praying that I wouldn't be stuck on a country road in the middle of nowhere, stuck in the middle of the night. It didn't look like there was going to be any gas stations anytime soon, so as I was driving down the country highway, I tried to use as little gas as possible. Just when my car was about to completely run out of gas, I saw a small gas station barely a quarter mile away. Once I pulled up, I noticed that this gas station was pretty run down and there were no cars at it at all. When I started to think that this place wasn't open, I found out that the fill-up tanks were open. Once the car was filled up, I was looking at my phone when I heard a sudden, but barely noticeable sound on top of the old gas station roof. I then looked up, being really quiet to try to hear the sound again. Nothing. Everything went silent. Thinking it was probably nothing, and I'm probably just tired from driving so long, I decided to just stop driving for the night and sleep in the car. I looked at my phone for a bit and then fell asleep. I was asleep for a good hour or so, but I woke up to the sound of the noise again in the same place. This time, I went outside my car to investigate. That was a big mistake. I went to the road so I could see the roof better. When my eyes adjusted, I saw a huge, man-like figure crouching on the roof. "Hey, what are you doing up there?" I called out. The thing suddenly stood up. It then locked eyes with me and let out this huge, ear-piercing screech which I remember clearly to this day. The next thing I remember is it jumped down, and I was amazed by how tall this thing was. Based on how tall I am, this thing had to be over 8 feet tall. It then ran inhumanly fast into the woods. I know after seeing this that this was no skunk ape, but something far worse. I immediately ran as fast as I could back to my car and got out of there as soon as possible. My heart was beating so fast it could have pumped out of my chest at any moment. God knows what that thing could have done to me if I was still asleep. Once I got to the nearest town, I got a hotel room and tried to calm myself down. I stayed awake all night and then drove down to where I needed to be. A couple of months after my encounter, I remember watching this TV show about mysterious creatures in America. I remember seeing this part about a mysterious creature that matched the description of what I saw that night. I do have the occasional nightmares of what I saw. That experience has now made me scared of driving through country highways at night, and whenever I go to get gas at night, I make sure there are at least one or two other cars there. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true middle-of-nowhere horror stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button. It helps me out a ton in the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and be sure to turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to hear from you and share your story with everyone here in the swamp. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to listen to your favorite scary stories from the swamp, be sure to download them from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And the best part of it all is it's absolutely free. If you enjoy the swamp and want to support outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I've got face masks, t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and much more. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I'll see you soon with another creepy video.